global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, all retreating from records. And this update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. S&P 500 index lower by 6 right now at 2342, a drop there of 0.3%. The Dow down 24 points to 20,587. That is a drop of 0.1%. And NASDAQ down 15, a drop of 0.3%. The 10-year up 14 30 seconds at yield 2.44%. Gold up 8.50 the ounce to 1241, a gain of 0.7%. And crude oil, West Texas Intermediate crude up 25 cents a barrel, 53.37 on WTI. That is a gain of 0.5%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. It is 11:48 in the Bay Area and 2:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Francis Wilkinson, an editor for Bloomberg View. Fallout from the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn showed House and Senate Republicans out of sync. The House Oversight Committee was a permanent fishing expedition during Barack Obama's presidency, but Chairman Jason Chaffetz said there's no need to investigate Flynn's Russia dealings because it's taking care of itself. Speaker Paul Ryan said he didn't want to prejudge the situation. Compare that with the Senate, where Republican Senator Roy Blunt said the Trump administration's Russia connection should be investigated exhaustively. Senator John McCain said Flynn's resignation raised further questions about the Trump administration's intentions toward Russia. The disparity between the House and Senate GOP is partly institutional, partly political. As congressional scholar Sarah Binder said, House Republicans represent more homogeneous districts where Trump is popular. Senators represent states that tend to be more diverse, and they are politically insulated by six-year terms. Perhaps more House members would genuinely like to get to the bottom of the Russia business, but first, they'd like to get to the Senate. I'm Francis Wilkinson, an editor for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and also at 5:48, 8:48, and 11:48 in the morning, Wall Street time.
It is indeed, and that means, Corey, it's time for the Bloomberg Markets Bite of the Day, one number that tells us a lot. And, Corey, today's number is 8. Care to guess?
8. Number is 8. Give me a clue.
This is a hard one. It has to do with a game that we all love, grew up with, old game, been around for a long time.
That game would be baseball.
You buy hotels.
Monopoly.
Thank you.
8.
Hasbro holding.
Well, I was trying to figure out what the 8th board piece was there. I think it's Mediterranean Avenue. Go ahead. Hasbro
is holding a worldwide contest to let people choose the 8 tokens to be included in the next generation of Monopoly. Voters have already rejected the thimble, an integral part of the game since being added to Monopoly in 1935. Always like my favorite to use, the thimble.
The thimble.
Winners will be announced March 19th, my daughter's birthday.
Why the thimble?
I just like the way it feels.
Not the race car?
No.
What about the top hat?
That's okay. I like the thimble. Winners will be announced March 19th, and games hitting shelves this August could include hashtags, emojis, Corey.
Emojis.
And even a rubber ducky.
I used to have an emoji coach.
And even a rubber ducky. That would be fun. All right, that is the Bloomberg Markets Bite of the Day for Thursday, February 16th. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Trey Parker joins us right now as portfolio manager, head of credit at Highland Capital Management. What an interesting time period. But the markets, especially, Trey, I wonder when you look in a credit world, you know, what trends you're trying to follow, because you can point in a lot of different directions right now.
Sure. There's been a tremendous, bid for credit assets broadly as people are yield chasing really around the world. And U.S. credit markets have presented some of the most attractive opportunities in credit and in yield on a global basis. That being said, you know, the tight levels that we're seeing today certainly have investors worried that we've gotten ahead of ourselves and that credit is somewhat expensive. And so we're obviously following, you know, certain sectors that have, you know, more of an idiosyncratic tilt to try to still find opportunity.
What sectors in particular provide maybe some opportunities right now?
You know, there are a number of sectors that are going through disruptive change, you know, some of them driven by regulatory angles like healthcare, creating some opportunities, and others more secularly driven, say the retail sector is an interesting one where consumer behaviors and preferences are certainly changing the landscape from traditional retail brick and mortar.
I got to follow up on that because we were having a discussion yesterday and talking about kind of the fallout. I was on Bloomberg Television in the morning with David Westin, and we were talking about the credit market, specifically the retail sector, and how, you know, you have all of these malls that are really having a tough time. And so what happens to necessarily the malls, the debt that's on, you know, the property? What happens to the credit story of the retail sector? Does that start to kind of pose some real troubles rather than opportunities?
It does indeed, and credit spreads are already starting to reflect that. We've seen,
and they have for some time.
They have, but even since October, I would say that spreads in the retail sector have blown out pretty significantly relative to where the rest of the credit markets have trended. I think that's a culmination of a couple of factors. Number one, it's the fourth quarter, which is the most important for retailers. Number two, the consumer from a macro perspective is very healthy. Unemployment rates are low, wages are rising, and yet retailers are still underperforming.
Rising, yeah,
barely,
so much,
barely.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, I think we're already starting to see capacity. I think capacity rationalization is the biggest part of the retail sector that needs to change.
So does that create some problems from a credit perspective?
It definitely
does. Does it start to kind of snowball and become a problem?
And we've already started to see some smaller bankruptcies come into the credit markets, but we think that number picks up this year.
So, you know, again, how far on the risk curve? It sounds like what you're doing is doing a lot of company research to go along with this.
That's right. We're having to find
the
winners and losers.
You guys are known as a shop that does that kind of work.
Correct. We're definitely bottoms-up guys that are looking for winners and losers, and we think that because of the capacity rationalization, there's going to be a lot of you know, potential losers in this scenario, and names that we do enjoy have idiosyncratic opportunities for a turnaround to optimize supply chains, to optimize merchandising. It can't simply be a brand preference.
Who? Can you be specific?
You know, I think we've looked at a couple of situations in the retail space that have a niche. They're the largest player, you know, say a Toys R Us or maybe a Guitar Center, where there's not a lot of other brick and mortar competition. And we still think that the consumer has a preference to see and feel and touch the product in the store, because online is obviously the biggest disruptive threat to retail.
Do you guys make a bet on Sears?
We've stayed away from that situation. Obviously, there's been a very extended runway for that company from a turnaround perspective. But, you know, from a credit story, I think they've been the net loser in the extension of that runway scenario, and so we've stayed away from that opportunity.
Is there going to be enough paper going forward? You've had so many companies taking advantage of this super, super low rate regime. And even as that starts to change, we start to see rates creep up a little bit. The suggestion at the time was that they're going to borrow now so they don't have to borrow later. Are they going to borrow later? I mean, why do you look at that?
You know, the credit markets aren't created equal for all industries. We've actually seen retail issuance, as an example, down 30% year over year in 2016 versus 2015. So that sector certainly has not had full and open access. And I think that's been one of the challenges and the reasons why that has expanded. But for a lot of companies experiencing disruptive change, the capital markets have been the path forward. You know, certainly if we have disruption in that, I think that makes that more challenging. And we'll be watching for it.
High yield?
You know, high yield, broadly speaking, has gotten expensive as well, and you definitely have to pick your spots. You know,
anything in particular that you find attractive that you guys maybe
High yield's gotten lower yield.
Yes. It's still high risk. Gotten a lot tighter. It definitely has. You've got to pick your spots. Energy obviously was the big winner last year.
Yeah.
I think that may have gotten ahead of itself a bit, as at $50 to oil, there's still a lot of companies that can't persist at that level fundamentally.
Interesting times, to be sure. Great stuff. What an interesting take to Trey Parker, portfolio manager and head of credit at Highland Capital Management. Glad to have you here. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Corey Johnson, at Corey TV on the Twitter. She's at Carol Masser.
On the Twitter. I love when you say that.
It's the Twitter. It's like, where the tweets.
It's like on the radio.
On the radio.
Like, I don't know.
She's Carol Masser. On the Twitter, she's at Carol Masser. I'm at Corey TV, and this is Bloomberg.